Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, June 25th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
I'm going to go ahead and get right into the market report today, as we have Wendy Wilson joining us today for the first segment of the program. We have gold today up barely at 1320. We had a high of 1325, and of course it's settling around 1320. It's been all over the page. It was early morning trade, it was down about $8, so a little bit of nice recovery from that time, but still holding at 1320. Silver is up 11 cents today at 2114, along with platinum up 3 at 1475, and palladium up 4 at 835. USDX today is trading down slightly, 0.9 at 80.21. And crude oil is a little bit higher at 106.63. Paper markets today, the Dow was up 49 points at 16,867, you have the NASDAQ up 29 at 43.79, and the S&P up 9 at 1,959. And the 10-year yield today is trading down slightly, 0.03, down below the 260 at 2.56%. So, Al.
Yes, Melody.
I hear you typing in the background, but let's go right to Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Wendy, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in there like everybody else.
What's this I hear about white death is coming back to the United States?
Yes, the white death. It's an ancient name that we've given a disease called tuberculosis. And, you know, most people just say, you mentioned TB, and they think, you know, medicine already eradicated that thing. It's no longer a threat. Well, not so. Actually, not too long ago, Vivian Lee, you remember her, star of the Gone with the Wind? She died of tuberculosis in 1967. So, also last year,
I remember that it was an issue. I'm old enough to remember that it was still an issue when I was a boy.
You remember those little rounds.
But it's disappeared now. I mean, it was mm-hmm. recognized. I can remember somebody in the family went to some sort of, I can't remember what they called it. It wasn't an asylum, but a facility.
No,
where,
it was a tuberculosis hospital. Yeah, they had special TB hospitals. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Wisconsin, Now, the town of Sheboygan in Wisconsin last year, they only have 50,000 people there. They struggled with a TB outbreak last year. Did you hear about that in the news?
Nope.
Okay. And then also, Virginia last year had 3 tuberculosis cases, and South Carolina had 94. So tuberculosis is a bacterium that spreads when someone who's infected coughs and you breathe in the droplets. Or you get it directly through physical contact with an infected person. And you know, as I said, we're all familiar with the TB skin test, you know, see if there's a reaction. But health authorities now are telling Americans, you know, you're at a low risk. You don't have to worry about TB. But there's really no guarantee. And there's some significant changes that have been happening now for a while, and they're actually ramping up that is affecting this disease. Do you want to guess what it is, Al?
I would guess high incarceration rates in this country and other parts of the world. The disease, I've heard that the disease has become, it spreads within the prisons for one thing. They try to treat it with antibiotics. The disease develops resistance to the antibiotics, and then it becomes a kind of super strain of tuberculosis. Is that roughly correct or not?
You are correct, actually. Tuberculosis.
Do I get any steak knives or anything like that?
No, you get a kudos from the herbalist. but listen, no, you're correct. It is prevalent in crowded conditions like prisons,
yeah.
Concentration camps, the people that are very poor that live in lots of concentrated housing. So, but. The other thing that's bringing this into the United States is the immigrants now. So we got to be concerned because this is not...
But not the illegal immigrants. We're only talking about the legal immigrants, right?
No, we're talking about just anybody that's coming from another country here.
I understand.
And so TB is not a disease of the past. We have to actually prepare ourselves for it, actually. Now, there is a TB vaccine, not that I advocate vaccines. It's called Bacillus Calmette-Guérin, and it's made, I think, in France. And we use it here rarely in the United States. It's only for special circumstances, and there's no guarantee that you won't get the disease, but they do use the disease overseas quite a bit. Now, let me give you some information coming out of the CDC on this. They say that in the U.S., typically on average, there's for every 3 people out of 100,000, they get a confirmation TB. Also, they say that foreigners coming into the U.S. are 13 times more likely to be infected with tuberculosis than an American citizen. The illegal alien issue is putting the U.S. at risk, and this is according to the CDC, and it's spreading more infectious disease. So the rate amongst TB infections on immigrants rose 64.6% last year. Now, the United States has the highest TB rates, reporting 500 cases for each state. In these states, let's see if you see a correlation. California, Texas, New York, and Florida. Do you see where those states are, Al?
Big immigration points.
That's it. That's it. So these are access points for the immigrants to enter the United States. And these 4 states, Al, account for 1/3 of the U.S. population. So that's about 51.3% of the immigrants that are in those states have tuberculosis. And for everybody that's infected with TB, they have the capability.
Now, wait a second. Let me see if I understand correctly. Did I hear you say that 50%, 51% of the immigrants in each of those states, 51% of the immigrants have TB?
Yep, that's according to CDC stats. Yep.
That's just astonishing. That's an astonishing.
I know. And here's the thing. For every person that's got a test positive for tuberculosis, they have the capability of infecting 250 other people.
Now, when people have tuberculosis,
mm-hmm.
We've got some percentage of aliens, immigrants that have tuberculosis.
Uh-huh.
Does the tuberculosis, is it something that can be there in a latent sense where
yeah.
you've got it, but it doesn't actually cause an obvious problem, maybe not even obvious coughing?
Yes, there is a 2 types of tuberculosis. There is the latent TB, which is not contagious, okay? It's sort of there. Actually, uncontagious TB patients don't even know they have it. Okay. It's the other form of tuberculosis. Now, it's not to say that the latent form can't become the other form of TB, where it's bacterial and it's highly contagious. It's just that they have a latent form and they have an immune system that's able to keep it in check. So, but the contagious form of tuberculosis typically affects the lungs. That's the organ it likes to attack. So what happens if you have that type of tuberculosis, over a period of weeks or months, the lungs will develop some mild symptoms like a little cough. Then you may get some sputum with the cough, and the sputum can be clear, and then it can become thick, and then it could get cloudy and even be tinged with a little blood sputum. Now, other symptoms develop after that. You'll get a fever, chills, night sweats, fatigue, weakness. You'll have a loss of appetite, and you'll have significant weight loss. And then shortly after that, it's hard to breathe, and you get chest pains. So the issue is that if the TB decides not to attack the lungs, then the infectious TB could be known as extrapulmonary TB. And then those symptoms would be back pain near the spine, neck pain, and swollen lymph nodes. Okay. Now, I want to read you a quote by the Wisconsin Emergency Coordinator. His name is Dr. Steven Steinhardt. He was in Sheboygan, Wisconsin last year when they had that outbreak. He said this: TB is a disease most Americans may view as a relic of the 19th century, but it is an insidious threat and can pop up anywhere. And the nurse that was on the team in Wisconsin, Jean Brineman, she says this: it is not unusual for doctors to miss tuberculosis because the disease is uncommon now. Well, it's about to become uncommon, is what I'm saying.
How did we succeed in essentially eradicating TB back in the 1950s, maybe even up into the 1960s? What did we do to get rid of TB at that time? Because it essentially disappeared in this country for 30, 40 years.
I think better hygiene, and then we had frozen foods. So we had fresh, typically almost fresh vegetables year-round. So we had more nutrients and vitamins, and I think that helps boost the immune system to keep TB in check. And actually, I'm going to get to a quote by a specialist who studied tuberculosis who said that's the key to keeping TB in check. But before I forget, I wanted to mention here, according to the CDC, that and this is according to the CDC and the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists Surveillance. They say the Asians and the Hispanic immigrants have a 25 times higher incidence of spreading TB than other ethnic groups. Okay? So I wanted to get that in there.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, it's got to be lethal in their community then. Well, I don't know lethal. What is the prognosis?
If you contract
the more virulent form of TB and you contract it today, mm-hmm. What's the prognosis?
Well, what doctors typically do.
1 year, 5 years, 20 years, how long? What happens?
Well, it moves pretty rapidly unless they can get a handle on it. Typically, in order to confirm you do have TB, they'll do a blood and a sputum test and a chest X-ray. Once they confirm it, you're going to be quarantined, okay? And they usually give drugs, and the drugs are kind of a crapshoot, really. They're real dangerous, especially if you're an expectant mother, but they are very toxic to the liver. So the drugs they give for TB can cause liver damage and even hepatitis, which can be fatal. Some of the side effects of the drugs even produce what they call peripheral neuropathy. So doctors will try to counter that side effect by giving the patient extra vitamin B6. Then sometimes out of desperation, the doctors will try to treat the pathogen with what is called a 24-month multi-drug therapy. And they're using new medications.
24-month.
Yeah, it's a 2-year drug therapy. They're using different combinations of some of the newer drugs to kill the bacterial disease, and very expensive, Al. It's $300,000 a patient for that. So the TB treatments are expensive, they're toxic, and they also have limited effectiveness. And also, surgery could be required if they need to remove diseased sections of your lung if it's attacking your lung. So as far as the mortality rate's pretty high when you get infectious TB. So Let me get to this doctor, though. He's fascinating. His name's Dr. Thomas Dormandy, and he researched the White Death and collected many documents in his investigation from the Roman Empire all the way to modern times. And he found one correlation, which you were so clever to mention. He said the correlation that is that TB attacks people in overcrowded conditions like prisons and concentration camps and very poor housing developments where people usually have malnutrition and very low immune systems. Here's something you might not know, Al. Dr. Dormandy also covered what is called bovine tuberculosis, which you contract through cow's milk. And this spurred on the pasteurization process when it was developed. Unfortunately, if you look at cow's milk, about 10% of pasteurized milk will contain live tuberculosis bacilli. So,
10% of pasteurized milk?
Yep. Isn't it great? I tell you. Right. Well, you know, they only
the front
do that.
Of milkshakes, doesn't it?
Oh, I know. Well, see, they only heat that milk flash, you know, less than 60 seconds. Just enough heat to kill the good bacteria and not enough heat to kill the bad. So a lot of the stuff is still there. So we see some waves of outbreaks. So Canada, just like America, has TB hospitals, but they kind of shuttered them. They're kind of World War II relics.
Yeah.
But they had to actually open a reshuttered TB hospital to deal with a SARS outbreak recently. So, you know, it's a quarantine hospital is what they are.
That's interesting to me is it sounds like you only get the TB in close contact from someone else who has TB, and the implication is that the TB may not survive for long outside the body. If someone coughs and you inhale or ingest whatever it is they coughed, we have a problem. If they cough and it lays on the floor, the walls, wherever, it sounds like the TB itself doesn't last for long once it gets outside the body. Do you know if there's any truth to that?
Oh, it lasts. It's got a little bit of a survival rate. And according to the World Health Organization, they say there's three diseases that devastate worldwide populations. And those diseases are AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis, killing 6 million a year. And you got to wonder, why isn't this a pandemic? They labeled the SARS and the bird flu, they classified that as a pandemic, and it only affected a few hundred people.
Yeah, because they weren't particularly real. The TB is real.
Yeah.
It does pose a legitimate threat. They can't do anything. At least they're not doing anything if there's anything that can be done. There's no effective cure at this time.
No. So, beef
up
the immune system.
It's a good question. Why don't they label it a pandemic?
Well, yeah, it is a good question. But Dr. Thomas Dormandy says that, you know, actually healthy immune systems – it does keep the TB pathogen in check. And what the medical people are trying to do is take what they call killer T cells from an immune system and through a cell-derived interferon gamma process, they want to make a vaccine out of that, mix it with the tuberculosis disease, and give you a vaccine to protect you from tuberculosis. But your immune system
already... Well, I can hardly wait. But I can tell you what, Wendy, why don't you
We're out of time.
Fast conclusion and some contact information.
Absolutely. If you want to beef up the immune system, we got a product called the Pandemic Kit. You'll want that on hand to help you out. And you can call to inquire about that toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit the website, thepowerherbs.com. Thanks, Al. Thanks,
and
Melanie.
Wilson at thepowerherbs.com. Thank you, Wendy. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Wendy on Wednesday. All right, I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Call Melody. She's got specials.
We're going to carry on the – of course, we're going to carry on the Silver Eagle special. Certainly, the 275 over spot includes shipping. And we're also going to carry on the free Silver Eagle with orders, and we're going to carry on the AU $5 Liberty gold piece, but instead of the 20 silver eagles, you're going to receive $25 face value of 90% silver, and that will either be a combination of quarters or 50 cent pieces, but that's what available, and that is what is available. And so if you're lucky enough to get some of those 50 cent pieces, there's premiums on those, and we're including them at the lower price. So it's a great little package, and I was able to keep it at around the same price level as we had last week, $880. An AU $5 Liberty gold piece, dated prior to 1907. They're beautiful coins. We got them in today. And we also have some 90% silver, $25 face value for $880. That includes all your shipping costs. That includes your free Silver Eagle. That includes everything. You can buy one. And we have several of these available for you. 800-375-4188. There's a lot of things going on today, Al, and I didn't know if you want to wait to talk about this tomorrow, but the U.S., after a four-decade ban on oil exports, guess what the Obama administration is doing? They're clearing the way for the first exports of unrefined American oil in nearly four decades. They chose two companies, the Commerce Department gave Pioneer Natural Resources and Enterprise Products Partners, LP, permission to ship a type of ultralight oil known as condensate to foreign buyers. And the buyers are able to turn the oil into gasoline, jet fuel, and diesel. Now, they didn't really say where it was going. There's speculation that it's actually going to Asia. And it is just a small amount to begin with. However, after 40 years, and it's quite an amazing...
Well, it's an interesting change, and it and trying to explain what's happening right now is not exactly clear to me. But it, if you look in retrospect and say 40 years ago, what happened 40 years ago? But 40 years ago is when we went off. The dollar became completely a fiat currency, and they stopped selling oil, exporting oil, which means they stopped taking foreign held dollars for American oil. The dollar became the petrodollar, and you could use the petrodollar to buy crude oil from Saudi Arabia and any of the OPEC nations, but you couldn't use the dollar to buy oil from this country. In a sense, in retrospect, you look back on it, the government said, we're going to take any of those worthless dollar bills for American oil. They knew it was pure fiat currency. We're not dumb enough to do that. We will only, people will have to take dollars, they will have to seek them overseas in order to have a currency with which they can buy petroleum on the international market, but we're not selling any. Now, if that makes any sense and there's any validity to that, what does it indicate about what's happening right now? The government is willing to take phony fiat dollars. Well, the government's not being paid, but they're willing to allow Americans to take phony fiat dollars as payment for crude oil. It means, in theory, that they will allow people who are sitting on what some think of as perhaps $16, $17 trillion in foreign-held currencies, U.S. dollars, $16, $17 trillion foreign-held dollars in the form of cash and bonds and so on, maybe they can start swapping those out for U.S. oil. And is this, does this help the American people? Or does this help the people that are holding those dollars overseas and say, sure, we'll sell our oil to you. Just give us some of those phony baloney dollars. And it will also increase inflation in this country. If the money comes back, it was a way of exporting inflation in the past. Government could print the money. People had to have the money overseas to buy foreign current, to buy crude oil from Saudi Arabia, OPEC nations. It was a way of helping to export American inflation out of this country. Now, with this change, in a sense, it appears that perhaps they're going to allow those foreign dollars to come back in. As they enter this country, it's going to increase the money supply. In theory, it will contribute to inflation. I don't know how much inflation we'll see out of it. It might be insignificant. It might be more than, you know, it might be significant. Hard to say.
Well, one of the biggest drillers out of North Dakota, they had mentioned that they expect that the export ban of all types of U.S. crude will be sold internationally. So this is probably the first step to see how this will be received or how it's going to be received and by Congress and, you know, and
the American people.
And the American people.
How do you think it will be received by China?
Well, it depends on where the oil's going. I mean, if it's going to Asia, I mean, if it's going to them, it's going to help them. But they really didn't.
Say, yippee!
We got
$1.2 trillion U.S. dollars over there in China. If I understand correctly, and they're going to say, yippee! Now we can dump these worthless pieces of paper and get some crude oil out of the United States. It becomes an outlet for them to get rid of their dollar. The dollars they're sitting on. And I'd say that China's going to say, you know, I don't know what's the Chinese term for yippee? Anybody know? Yippee. Perhaps that's what it is. I don't know.
But, you know, there's arguments. I mean, I've heard discussions on this today as far as how it'll help manufacturing, which I don't see with all the free trade agreements. I can't imagine how it's going to help our manufacturing. You know, they talk about, oh, the U.S. people will experience a lower cost, but yet the argument is, no, we will actually see a higher cost mm-hmm. in gasoline prices because if we start shipping crude outside the U.S., our oil
prices will rise. We have a lower supply in this country, and therefore our prices.
It's going to be higher cost.
We could have had, if we had a greater supply in this country, in theory, it would have contributed to a lower price of domestic gasoline if that crude oil was kept in this country. They're going to move it out. I don't know. The whole thing, it's.
Well, this type of oil, it needs a separate type of. It gets refined differently. But my question is, why aren't these oil companies building refineries? I mean, most of them are. You know, they need work. I think there haven't been that many that have been built. I think there was one.
They've built a refinery in
It's been a long
I don't know,
time.
It's been a couple of decades, I think, before since they've last built a refinery in this country.
People gotta understand whatever they do, you know what? It's really not for the best for us.
Yeah, I know that. You know, we were talking to doing a program last night. And I was joking with Frank during one of the intermissions during the commercial break, and we're talking about whoever the government blames. The government says, oh, this is the person who's responsible. Well, you can pretty much bet that's not the person who's responsible. Whoever gets blamed is not the person who's really responsible. They may be the fall guy, they may be the sap, the chump, whatever. It's a little like this business with the oil. They'll have explanations for it, and they'll claim it's going to benefit the American people, for example. You can bet we aren't going to be the beneficiaries. All right? We are going to be the fall guys, and the real beneficiaries will be special interests, foreign interests, multinational corporations, who knows.
U.S. refineries didn't benefit from this deal. You had shares of Valero Energy. They were up a little bit. I take it back.
But Valero,
they dropped,
isn't Valero Colombian?
They dropped almost 9.6%. You had PBF Energy. They dropped 10%. Phillips, they dropped 4.5%. So there were some other refineries that dropped, you know, on this news. So, you know, to me, it's a big story. It's a little story with big. My question is, we talked about China, but what about the Saudis?
I don't know what's happening with the Saudis. There's a big question. There's been rumors for 4 or 5 years that the Saudis, maybe longer than that, but the Saudis are about out of oil.
That's
that they don't have the reserves.
Been a long time, yeah.
That they don't have the reserves that are claimed. And if that's true, it's only a question of time before Saudis are shown to be as short on crude oil as the U.S. Treasury may be on gold. And then what happens? What happens if it turns out, gee, the Saudis don't have any crude oil? Now what? Now they're just another Middle East nation. They run out of crude oil and ha, 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 that place is going to fall apart.
So interesting news.
Yeah, it's all interesting.
Big impact for the future.
If you could just get accurate information where you actually knew how much oil does Saudi have right now, does Saudi Arabia have right now?
Well,
are they or are they not about to run out? And we can speculate on it. We hear the stories and the rumors.
Well, I'm not a believer. I'm not a believer of peak oil. So, but anyway. Today?
I believe everything I hear, Melody.
Do you?
And especially whatever I read on the internet. If it's on the internet,
this
you know it has
real.
To be true.
It's true.
Yep.
We. U.S. economy. They came out with, I guess this is the final estimate for the GDP. The U.S. economy contracted at a much steeper pace than previously estimated for the first quarter. They came out today and said the gross domestic product fell as much as 2.9%. And that is the worst performance in 5 years. So it has been revised.
They originally thought it was only down by 1%. Now they say here at the end of the second quarter, they say, oops, no, it wasn't. It was down by 2.9%.
And you know they're not telling the truth. So it's really probably 5. But
well, not necessarily. Really, it might have been 2% rather than 2.9. People don't pay as much attention to the revised figures as they do to the new figures when they first come out. And if they can, insofar as they sit back and say, oh, it fell by 2.9% in the first quarter. Well, that makes it easier to show a positive improvement in the second quarter. If they sat back and they said that it fell by 1% in the first quarter, they may get another 1%, 2% down in the second quarter. But if they say, oh, no, in retrospect, now that we think about it, actually it fell almost 3% in the first quarter, well, then the second quarter may go up relative to the first quarter. Even though it's, it becomes one of these situations that's easier to see than it is to explain sometimes. But
I think you're giving them too much credit, Al.
Well, I don't know that I'm giving them too much credit, but what I am assuming is they're up to something. All right, I have a suspicious mind, and when they do anything, I just don't believe that they're doing it for our benefit. They're not doing it to tell us the truth. I don't believe it's telling us the truth. Somebody is looking at this and say, well, if we shade it a little more this way, then we'll look better next quarter.
Well, right?
It's always been...
And it could be because of the election year. You never know what they're going to do. They could give a low number and, you know, come in at a high. But it also would give them fuel in order to create some sort of another quantitative easing. You're going to have to see a couple more of these numbers or before anything else is done. But again, they're just planting the seeds for whatever they plan to do. But
I think Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve has pretty much figured out that quantitative easing will ultimately devastate the Federal Reserve.
I don't think
they keep on buying these toxic assets. They're using quantitative easing as an excuse to buy toxic assets, which are, they call them toxic assets. And the truth is, they're essentially non-performing financial instruments, and they're going to lose on. And they can't continue to absorb those losses and expect to survive. I think they're cutting quantitative easing. At least where they buy toxic assets.
They cut all previous quantitative easings only to create another plan, another direction. Because if they don't, then this whole economy collapses. So either they're ready for it to collapse, or they will have to continue to stimulate whatever they can, whatever funds they can create. I think it's already designed to fail. So a failure of the Federal Reserve is already in the books, is already in the makings.
I don't know that they intended failure from the beginning. Some people, if you are of a conspiracy mind, if you're conspiracy minded, you might suppose they intended failure from the beginning. But certainly failure was inherent from the beginning, and the beginning goes back no later than 1971 when the currency became pure fiat. All the fiat currencies fail. All right? Everybody knows this. They went into a fiat currency and they said, we'll have a currency that's not backed by gold or silver or anything. We get rich and powerful and grow the government and become more powerful on an international scale. But in the end, they all blow up. And now we are getting close. We've had a good 40 years that was, we could attribute to some degree to a fiat currency. We've had a decent 40 years. But it laid the foundation for a bad situation when this whole thing blows up in our face. They should have known from the beginning. They did it anyway. Someone should be held accountable.
They did know from the beginning.
No one will. We have to break and take some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give Melody a call. What's next, Melody?
I just want to say one thing. Let's move on to the next issue. But, you know, when we were talking about the GDP, I mean, you know, that was the second biggest downward revision since 1976.
So, yeah, I know.
Intense.
Which tells us they're up to something.
Well, I wonder when the first time was. This is the second biggest downward.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I think they're giving us a big down right now so they can claim some sort of an
we'll
up
see.
For the second quarter. That's we'll what I think is going to happen. But we'll watch and see.
We'll know in August.
What's next?
Hey, Supreme Court, good news, bad news. Bans warrantless cell phone searches. Updates privacy laws. Good news, bad news, or just... What does it matter?
I think it's one of those things. We see the government spying on us. We see the country sliding ever more rapidly into a police state. To see anything that slows the government down is cause for celebration, in my opinion. So we've got an article here from Washington Times. Again, Supreme Court bans warrantless cell phone searches. And it said the Supreme Court said police cannot go snooping through other people's cell phones without a warrant. And it was fascinating. This was a unanimous decision. Usually what you get is a 5-4 decision out of the Supreme Court. Five justices are 4-4.
They don't want their phones searched. Go ahead.
Apparently so. Something has moved all nine of them to agree that the police can't snoop through people's cell phones. Now, this is pretty it's unusual to see a unanimous decision. And it's one of those things you look at and you probably need to read the decision to see if there's anything sneaky going on there. But it is unusual to see all nine of them vote the same way. The article says this is a major statement in favor of privacy rights. The ruling amounts to a 21st century update to legal understanding of privacy rights. The answer to the question, what police must do before searching a cell phone seized incident to an arrest, is accordingly simple. Get a warrant. And their justification, they said the police can't even check a cell phone's call log anymore to see who you've been calling lately. And they said that cell phones are different not only because people can carry around so much more data, You can have the equivalent of millions of pages of documents in a cell phone that police would have access to if they could get into the cell phone without a warrant. But the data itself is qualitatively different. It could lay bare someone's entire personal history from their medical records to their specific movements down to the minute. And therefore, the judges characterized the police ability to access your cell phone without a warrant as tantamount to ransacking his house for everything which might incriminate him. And the court found that the cell phone is like ransacking a house, and they're saying can't be done without a warrant. So they also said complicating matters further is the question where the data is actually where. Complicate the question of where the data is actually stored. The Obama administration and the state of California, both of which sought to justify cell phone searches, acknowledged that remotely stored data couldn't be searched. Remotely stored. Okay. But Chief Justice Roberts said, with cloud computing, it's now sometimes impossible to know the difference. They're saying that your data, if you were there, they are implying that if you're storing your data on your computer, on the desk, and in your little office area at home, that information may be subject to search and seizure. But they at least imply that if you were taking advantage of cloud computing and you stored your data outside of your computer, but off in the cloud, that it couldn't be searched. Now, this is where we get into some interesting stuff, from my perspective, having a suspicious mind. Because there are people who've been complaining, at least supposing, that it's possible for NSA to capture whatever data is in the cloud. So, is the Supreme Court giving us protection and saying if your data is stored remotely, they can't search for it? Or are they giving us some false information that's going to encourage all of us to store our data in the cloud where NASA can get it, the NSA can get it right now?
That's it.
So I don't know if that's it or it's not, but that's suspicious minds want to know, Melody.
No, when you were talking about it, what went through my mind was because of business and because of credit cards and because of purchasing things. People might shy away knowing that if there's, maybe not so much, searching and for the police to they need a warrant to do your phone, but you get a little wiggy. You don't want to do certain things. You don't want to put information on that if you know that everybody has access to it. So I think it is of the latter, that they want to. It's a way to encourage people to continue to use it.
Yeah, it may be so, and then they will get the warrant, at least in specific cases.
Well, now, a warrant...
You can't do anything about getting a warrant. If they're going to get a warrant, they get a warrant. I don't have a problem with that. If we have a legitimate judge who will grant a warrant under legitimate circumstances.
But if the Patriot,
I understand that has to
but
be
if
done.
They view you as a domestic terrorist under the Patriot Act, they don't need a warrant. So
it didn't say that in this article.
No, but the Patriot Act does. This doesn't say anything about eliminating what's in the Patriot Act. I mean, just like warrants into your home, they're supposed to have a warrant before they go into your home. But if they can classify you as a threat, as a terrorist, they don't need a warrant. They can go right in. So,
well, it's part of the reason, I say that the country in a lot, and it's not an original observation. We recognize that we're moving into a police state condition, and it's been true since 9/11, since the bombings of 9/11, and they said, oh, this changes everything, and it justifies government doing whatever it has to do to allegedly protect the homeland.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is, all it's done, nothing's being protected. I mean, if we were really being protected, Melody, how could we have a border with Mexico that children are able to cross without any problem? I mean, if anyone in the government actually cared about the security of this nation, we would have a border with Mexico that was fairly difficult to penetrate. You could only get in and out at certain locations. You had to have the proper identification. You couldn't just wander across. If you've got allegedly thousands of children who are simply crossing the border, then there is no real border being enforced, and no one really cares about the security of this nation. It's just a pretense they use to get votes.
It is.
Phyllis, we're doing a good deed. We have to take your rights away to protect the country. But the truth of the matter is they could care less about protecting the country. You know, I saw...
Well, you know what's really disgusting is that they're using children to get their agenda completed. They're using this deal, and no one complained. Hey, if they want to try and cross the border, fine, pick them up, take them back. You said drop them off at the embassies. Hey, that's great. But we supply them with bus fares to cities and say, here's your paper. You can go anywhere in this country.
I've got something I'm looking at right now. Under fedbizops.gov, that's fedbizops.gov, Federal Business Opportunities. That's what this is about, and it's at a government website. This isn't a private entity per se. This is a government website. I can't read the whole thing to you. You'd never get it. It's, you know, www.fbo.gov, and then there's a bunch of things to get this particular page. Here is a business opportunity: escort services for unaccompanied alien children. The solicitation number is BERKS-RFI. The agency is the Department of Homeland Security, the Office Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They want to hire people to escort unaccompanied alien children. I haven't read, there is a document that's attached to this that I downloaded, but I haven't had a chance to read yet. I am told by people who've read it that they were looking for 65,000 individuals who would accompany, who would help escort unaccompanied alien children. That implies they anticipate 65,000 unaccompanied alien children to come into this country and give one escort for each child. And this is a government business opportunity. You need a job, apply for it. You can get yourself some little Mexican kid or Honduras kid, and I don't know where you're going to take them, but you'll take them someplace. This is just astonishing. I mean, this is astonishing. This is the government that says they're providing us with border security. They are not. They are working to destroy this nation. I did an article back, oh, I don't remember, 6 months ago, and it was Nancy Pelosi was complaining about something. I think it had to do with the NSA spy scandal. I don't recall. Yeah, and they were showing how many separate terrorist plots they had defeated by means of their spying. And they held up a map of the homeland for Homeland Security. Right? Then they held that up, and the map included Mexico, the United States, and Canada. Mm-hmm. That is the homeland. The homeland is Mexico, United States, and Canada. It's not the United States of America. It's not the 50 states. It's not just the 50 states and Washington, D.C., and even the American territories. It is Mexico and Canada in a map that was being held up, I think inadvertently. I think it was foolishness on their part, but that's what the homeland is. So when we deal with the Department of Homeland Security, they're not here to protect us from Mexico. They recognize homeland recognizes Mexico as part of the homeland, as we are part of the homeland, as Canada is part of the homeland. They will perhaps protect Canada, the United States, and Mexico from external threats, maybe, but they aren't going to protect us from each other. They intend to see the North American Union. They're going to make it happen if they possibly can. And the only way we're going to stop it is to stand up, and we're going to have to say, no, we want borders that are not so porous that children can stroll across. I mean, it's more dangerous to cross a street. Children who can't cross a street in this country can cross the United States border with apparent ease. Big problems. And more evidence of just how corrupt, treasonous, treacherous, deceitful your government really is. And when I say your government, I'm talking about your president, your vice president, your congressman, your senator. They're not talking about this. The best senators that are out there, the best congressmen that are out there, aren't talking about this. They are at least letting it happen. They may not be contributing to it, but by their silence, they contribute to it. Who's trying to protect this country? Who's sitting in Congress? Who's really trying to do it? I know there's some congressmen that are giving national security a kind of lip service. And national preservation, they give it a certain amount of lip service, but who's actually doing anything about it? Anyone? Not many. There may be some, but there aren't many.
They talk the walk. They talk the talk, but
they don't walk the walk. They are treasonous, treacherous. You know, I look forward to a day when somebody, get enough people elected to Congress, where we can begin to see trials for treason in this country. It's what really needs to be done. And the people that are guilty of trying to push us into a North American Union, there is no constitutional basis for the North American Union. There is no constitutional basis for our government to push us into a union with Canada and Mexico. There's none, and they're doing it anyway. They are in violation of the Constitution. They just figure, hey, they'll get away with it. They're the government. We need trials for treason in this country, and the people that are responsible need to be smacked down hard. No wrist slaps.
Murray writes in, he says, national security does not trump the Constitution, and any so-called law that attempts to usurp it are null and void. The founders never added a provision in the Constitution to suspend itself.
Yeah, I understand. Do you know how they've... Well, two things. First off, well, maybe only one thing, because I think I only remember one right now. Murray said something. They didn't provide that. He talked about national security. First off, what does national security mean, Melody? It means government security. Every single time the government comes out and says, we have to do something for national security, it has nothing to do with anybody out on Main Street. It's all about protecting the government. That's what national security is about. They use the term national security as a pretext for setting up defenses to protect the government from any of their adversaries, and their biggest adversaries are always the American people. What was the other thing that I was going to say, and it skipped my mind? I can't recall right now, but in any case, so much for national security. What else, Melody? We have a minute or so?
Well, we don't have much time left.
No, just a minute. 40 seconds.
30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to count down.
We're going to count 30. Down?
No, I just want to
tell them what the special is.
I want to remind the listeners of the special $880, $25 face value of 90% silver mixture quarters and 50-cent pieces, AU $5 Liberty gold piece, include your shipping costs, and our special for this month. This is the third month that we're giving away free Silver Eagles with orders. So not only do you get great low prices, great product, and great shipping, but you also get a free 1-ounce 2014 Silver Eagle. $880 is this special. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. And gold and silver are both up significantly since we offered the last week's package at $888. So tremendous savings, folks. Give us a call, and we'll get these right out to you. Product is all here waiting to go.
All right, folks, we're out of time. We'll be back mañana. In the meantime, with the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.